Greetings, everybody. Welcome to GRT-TV. I'm thrilled to be here with you. We're simulcasting on bbsradio.com, the best internet radio on this planet. The crew at BBS are the brightest anywhere and huge supporters of Galactic Roundtable. Before we get into our discussion, I would like to start with a meditation. So many of you write me saying, you try to meditate and never have any luck, really relaxing and getting the mind chatter to chillax. We will talk more tonight, so that's why it's important. Essentially, meditation and moving out of local mind into bliss is a prerequisite to all other adept abilities. I cannot take you into Jedi trainings without bliss. So let's practice meditation together. We will get there, I promise. There are several guided meditation videos I wrote and produced and put on a channel at YouTube called Galactic Roundtable. You can go there each day, spend 10 minutes each day, take a guided meditation, and meditate with them. Plug in headphones and at your computer, sit cross-legged in your chair, and your family won't know you're meditating. In time, you'll be meditating on your own. You can make it happen. Let me add the music for our meditation. The meaning behind this chant is it's saying, open the door of your heart and let what is hidden there, the true you, be seen and become one with it. That's what this music means. Now, take slow, deep breaths and get into a comfortable position. Go into your heart. You can feel your life source, so connect with your life energy, which all the time is with you. Even when you're not aware of your vibration, you are a force in the cosmos. Invoke that force by chanting a mantra. This is a vibration of sound waves which aligns your vehicle to the force, establishing that life force in your heart. Now, I'm going to play an ancient chant from the Hindu tradition and guide you through a meditation I have written, which will have you going within the womb of your heart space, where your next breath, your next creation, is born of the flow of light force there. Visualize your heart opening as you slow your breathing. Close your eyes and travel into your heart. You see yourself standing before a golden door. See sunlight shining on the golden door. Turn the knob, open the door, and enter within. Here you see a giant lotus blossom and sun. Rays open its petals as they shine on the blossom. Come hither into the inner sanctum of your heart. This is where the secret of your everlasting heart lies. This is your everlasting immortal life force. When you enter the golden door of your heart, it is like removing the curtain. Your curtain is your ignorance. When the curtain or veil is removed, your master is there with you, ready to guide you to the deep, sacred places in the innermost sanctums in your heart. Your heart is a cosmic womb. Inhale deeply, and I want to guide you to connect with your highest self, your monad, your spark of light from the Godhead, your Atma. Close your eyes. Visualize a light orb surrounding your whole body, where you are. As light begins to encapsulate your entire being, begin to feel the energy of your higher self filling every cell of your body. It will feel like floating in bliss. Feels like tingling and warmth pulsing through your cells. Now, a light in your orb, you float into the sky as a ball of iridescent, white, pearl rainbow light. Float up near the sun. There you see your guide, the master who is your beloved. You see the one who is always there, guiding you. You recognize them. Your orb then moves into the inner chambers of their heart. Your orb is small, like a cell now. It is floating in the flowing beat in the inner chamber of your beloved's heart. This flowing river of light your orb is floating in is in the passive, divine, feminine source of divine grace. Nestled in the heart womb of the divine master, which is the active force of love, working with you to create your reality in the outer world. Wherever you enter your orb in bliss and merge with this passive and active this way, all things are possible. Float out of this heart womb space across the sky and back to where you began. When you are ready, slowly open your eyes. Wiggle your fingers and toes and come back to the now. Anytime you would like to have a conversation with the divine, solve a problem, ask a question, or receive guidance, visit this place again on your own. Visit as often as you would like, whenever you like. Thank you, everybody. That was beautiful.
On GalacticRoundtable.com, we have a family of nearly 5,000 members from over 186 countries. We have had 3.6 million hits in about the last year and a half. We get about 19,000 hits a week, and we have had 102,000 views of the videos we've produced on the Galactic Roundtable channel of YouTube. These programs will be posted on YouTube as well. One feature of GRT is the blog where we post the news. Each week I'd like to discuss the Earth current events. We are watching the end of duality on Earth, and it is quite a show. We take in this news, and it changes it. We send the violet flame, as Saint Germain has taught us, and it transmutes it back to love. We will raise the vibration of Earth by doing this, and there will come a day very soon when nothing that is less than love will be able to sustain its life form on Earth. I would like to share the research about Nisara Law as compiled by Nancy Detweiler. I was talking to a friend this week who said when she heard me talk about Nisara, she thought it was a spiritual entity I was in contact with. I was surprised this very experienced woman did not know Nisara was a law that had not been enacted. She said, when you expose such egregious acts, one should have and dissimulate to the people a plan of action to rectify the wrongs. Otherwise, you can be staring down a loaded shotgun. I completely agree. I assured her I felt I had been staring down a loaded shotgun for more than 2 years, as my life has had verbal and physical threats constantly because I am getting the word out. Nisara Law was authored by around 20 members of Congress, including Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Barney Frank, Dennis Kucinich, Ron Paul, Maxine Waters, Charlie Rangel, and Bernie Sanders. I told her the only plan I have is to be there every day to tell the truth, about what's happening and ask folks to join together spreading the truth. Before I begin Nancy's research, I want to make an aside. Nancy is a big fan of the Dove. If you know who that is, I will simply say I do not advocate for her or the work she did. She was involved in dark dealings and has been shared by Mother Sekhmet, although now she has passed on. May she be in peace. This information is very well documented, and I feel it is of the utmost importance. The history of Nasara, the National Economic Security and Reformation Act, compiled by Nancy Detweiler, Masters in Education, Masters in Divinity, posted on August 17, 2011. 1892, bankers adopted their Bankers' Manifesto of 1892, which it was declared, "We the bankers must proceed with caution and guard every move made, for the lower order of people are already showing signs of restless commotion. Prudence will therefore show a policy of apparently yielding to the popular will until our plans are so far consummated that we can declare our designs without fear of any organized resistance." The Farmers Alliance and Knights of Labor organizations in the United States should be carefully watched by our trusted men, and we must take immediate steps to control these organizations in our interests or dispute them. The courts must be called to our aid. Debts must be collected. Bonds and mortgages foreclosed as rapidly as possible. When, through the process of the law, the common people have lost their homes, they will be more tractable and easily governed through the influence of the strong arm of government applied to a central power of imperial wealth under the control of the leading financiers. People without homes will not quarrel with their leaders. 1907 to 1917. In order to warn Americans, the 1892 Bankers Manifesto was revealed by U.S. Congressman Charles A. Lindbergh Sr. from Minnesota before the U.S. Congress sometime during his term of office between the years of 1907 and 1917. Remember, everybody, they stole his son from his house to try to discredit him and manipulate him. 1910, John E. DiNardo, professor of public policy and economics at the University of Michigan, writes in his article, "The Federal Reserve Act." On the night of November 22, 1910, a small group of surrogates of the most powerful bankers of the world met under the veil of utmost secrecy. Over the next few weeks, these men would perpetrate, under the orders of their masters, perhaps the most colossal and devastating fraud ever inflicted upon the American people. This ultra-secret fraud is known as the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. The Federal Reserve Act of 1913 concocted legislation to be foisted upon the People's Congress of the United States that empowered and commissioned this secret cabal of world-dominant bankers to print United States currency, a usurpation of our Constitution's explicit edict empowering only United States government to print and coin currency. This world banking empire used their stolen power to print and into thin air paper currency, which in no way represents the gold and silver reserves that the authentic currency is supposed to represent. 1913, the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Complete text of the act may be seen at www.llsdc.org. As I read these websites to you, you can find them on galacticroundtable.com under the tab called Nasara at the top of the page. 1933 to 1934. Prior to 1933, Federal Reserve notes were backed by gold. This changed with the new law. Congressional Record, March 9, 1933, on H.R. 1491, page 83. Under the new law, the money is issued to the banks in return for government obligations, bills of exchange, drafts, notes, trade acceptances, and banker's acceptances. The money will be worth 100 cents on the dollar because it's backed by the credit of the nation. It will represent a mortgage on all the homes and the property of the people of the nation. The Banker's Manifesto ties in with the U.S. Senate, document number 43, 73rd Congress, first session, 1934, which states, "The ultimate ownership of all property is in the state. Individual so-called ownership is only by virtue of government, that is, law, amounting to mere user, and use must be in acceptance with law and subordinates to the necessity of the state." 1970s, the Federal Land Bank illegally foreclosed on farmers' mortgages all throughout the Midwest and South. In each of these cases, the farmers were defrauded by the banks with the approval of the Federal Reserve System. These court cases would eventually become known as the Farmer Claims Program. 1978, an elderly ranch farmer in Colorado purchased a farm with loan from the Federal Land Bank. After he died, the property was passed on to his son, Roy Schwarzinger, Jr., who was a retired military general. Soon after, a Federal Land Bank officer and federal marshal appeared on his property and informed him the bank was foreclosing on his farm, ordering him to vacate within 30 days. Without his knowledge, his deceased father had signed a stipulation which reverted the property back to the Federal Land Bank in the event of the borrower's death. Outraged, Roy E. Schwarzinger, Jr. filed a class action lawsuit in the Denver federal court system. The suit was dismissed on the basis of incorrect filing. This prompted Roy Schwarzinger's investigation into the inner workings of the banking system. 1982, Roy Schwarzinger was given a contract by the U.S. Senate and later Supreme Court to investigate banking fraud, but because he was under a strict non-disclosure order, he was not allowed to tell the media what he discovered. In the late 1980s, he began sharing his knowledge with others, including high-ranking military personnel who helped him bring about a class-action lawsuit against the federal government. The first series of these lawsuits began in the mid-1980s. When William and Shirley Bakersville of Fort Collins, Colorado, were involved in a bankruptcy case with First Interstate Bank of Fort Collins, who was trying to foreclose on their farm. At a restaurant, their lawyer informed them that he would no longer be able to help them and walked off. Overhearing the conversation, Roy Schwarzinger offered his advice on how to appeal the case in bankruptcy court. So, in 1987, they filed an appeal, case number 87-C-716, with the United States District Court in Colorado. 1988 and on. November 3rd of 1988, the Denver federal court system ruled that indeed the banks had defrauded the Bakervilles and proceeded to reverse its bankruptcy decision. But when the foreclosed property was not returned, they filed a new lawsuit. Eventually, 23 other farmers, ranchers, and Indians swindled by the banks in the same manner would join in the case. In these cases, the banks were foreclosing on the properties using fraudulent methods, such as charging exorbitant interest, illegal foreclosure, or by not crediting mortgage payments in their account, as they should have, but instead would steal the mortgage payments for themselves, triggering foreclosure on the property. After running out of money, they continued their fight without the help of lawyers. With some assistance by the Farmers Union, a new lawsuit was filed against the Federal Land Bank and the Farmers Credit System, case number 92-C-1781. The district court ruled in their favor and ordered the banks to return the stolen properties with help from either the federal marshals or the National Guard. But when no payments were made, the farmers declared involuntary Chapter 7 bankruptcy against the Federal Land Bank and the Farmer Credit System. The banks appealed their case, insisting they were not a business but a federal agency, therefore they were not liable to pay the damages. So the farmers' legal team adopted a new strategy. According to the Federal Land Bank's 1933 charter, they are not allowed to make loans directly to applicants. but instead could only back loans as a guarantor in the case of default. Because the Federal Land Bank had violated this rule, the farmer's legal team was able to successfully sue the bank for damages. Word of the lawsuit began to spread. The legal team would teach others how to fight foreclosure and help them file lawsuits as well. Case number 93-1308-M. Celebrities such as Willie Nelson joined in the cause and helped raise money during his Farm Aid concerts. Remember, they were trying to take him to jail for not paying his taxes? Maybe that really wasn't true. The Bakersville case had now become the Farmer Claims Case Action Lawsuit. Worried about the legal ramifications, the government retaliated against the farmers by hitting them with either outrageous IRS fees, sound familiar, or by imprisoning the legal team under frivolous, non-related charges. When the farmers realized they were being unfairly targeted, they had military generals such as General Roy Swasinger sit in the courtroom to make sure the bribed judges would vote according to constitutional law. The farmers now, with a large team of knowledgeable people of the law behind them, filed a new case to claim additional damages from the fraudulent loaning activities of the Federal Farmers Credit System. The government tried to settle, but they had already lost many cases and were now losing the appeals as well. More and more evidence was collected. According to the National Banking Act, all banks are required to register their charters with the Federal and State Bureau of Records, but none of the banks complied, allowing the legal team to sue the Farmers Credit System. Not only was Farmers Credit System not chartered to do business with the American Banking Association, but so were other quasi-government organizations such as the Federal Housing Administration, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and even the Federal Reserve Bank. The Farmers Claims lawsuit was thrown out of court and each level with records purposefully destroyed. An example of these court cases may be viewed at openjuris.org. Look up Bakersville. 1990s. In the early 1990s, Roy Schwasinger brought the case before the United States Supreme Court. Some of the content of this case is sealed from public eyes, but most of it can be viewed today. The U.S. Supreme Court justices ruled that the Farmers Union claims were indeed valid. Therefore, all property foreclosed by the Farmers Credit System was illegal, and those who foreclosed on would have to receive damages. In addition, they ruled that the U.S. federal government and banks had defrauded the farmers and all U.S. citizens out of vast sums of money and property. Furthermore, the court ruled the shocking truth that the IRS was a Puerto Rican trust. Read more about that at www.supremelaw.org. There's also more information at www.globalresearch.ca. You can find more at www.apfn.net. That the income tax amendment was only ratified by 4 states and therefore was not a legal amendment. That the IRS code was not enacted into positive law within the Code of Federal Regulations. Positive law means the laws that have been enacted by a properly instituted and recognized branch of the government. You can read more about this at www.givemeliberty.org. That the U.S. government illegally foreclosed on farmers' homes with help from the federal agencies. Irrefutable proof was presented by a retired CIA agent. He provided testimony and records of the bank's illegal activities as further evidence that the Farmers Union claims were indeed legitimate. The implications of such a decision were profound. All gold, silver, and property titles taken by the Federal Reserve and IRS must be returned to the people. The legal team sought assistance from a small group of benevolent visionaries, consisting of politicians, military generals, and business people who have been secretly working to restore the Constitution since the mid-1950s. Somehow within their ranks, a 4-star U.S. Army general received title and receiver of the original 1933 United States bankruptcy. When the case was brought before the U.S. Supreme Court, they ruled in his favor, giving the Army general title over United States Incorporated. Legal action was then passed on to the Senate Finance Committee, and Senator Sam Nunn, who was working with Roy Schwassinger in 1991, with the help of covert congressional and political pressure, President George H.W. Bush issued an executive order on October 23, 1991, which provided a provision allowing anyone who has a claim against the federal government to receive payment as long as it's within the rules of the original format of the case. You may read Executive Order Number 12778 at the URL below. Ethical Conduct for Government Officers and Employees on October 23, 1991 is the name of the executive order, and it's found at www.doh.state.fl.us. According to the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, all present and succeeding debts against the U.S. Treasury must be assumed by the Federal Reserve. Thus, the Farmers Claim legal team was able to use that executive order to not only force the Federal Reserve to pay out damages in a gold-backed currency, but also allow them to receive legal ownership over the bankruptcy of United States Incorporated. To collect damages, the Farmers' legal team used an obscure attachment to the 14th Amendment, which most people are not aware of. After the Civil War, the government allowed citizens to claim a payment on anyone who suffered damages as a result of the federal government failing to protect its citizens from harm or damages by a foreign government. President Grant had his attachment sealed from public eyes, but somehow, someone on the farmer's legal team got a hold of it. If you read that carefully, it specifies damages by a foreign government. That foreign government is the corporate federal government by which has been masquerading to the public as a constitutional government, United States Incorporated. Remember, this goes back to the Organic Act of 1871 and the Trading with the Enemies Act of 1933, which defined all citizens as enemy combatants under the federal system known as the United States. The justices and farmers' legal team recognized how evil and corrupt the federal government had become, and to counteract this, they added some provisions in the settlement to bring the government back under control. A. First, they would have to be paid using a lawful currency backed by gold and silver as the Constitution dictates. This would eliminate inflation and gyrating economic cycles created by the Federal Reserve System. See Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. B. Second, they would be required to go back to common law instead of admiralty law under the gold fringe flags. Under common law, if there is no damage or harm done, then there is no violation of the law. This would eliminate millions of laws which are used to control the masses and protect corrupt politicians. C. Lastly, the IRS would have to be dismantled and replaced with a national sales tax. This is the basis of Nassara law. When the legal team finally settled on a figure, each individual would receive an average of $20 million. Payout per claim multiplied by a total of 336,000 claims that were filed against the U.S. federal government. The total payout would come out to a staggering $6.6 trillion. The U.S. Supreme Court placed a gag order on the case, struck all information from the Federal Registry, and placed all records in the Supreme Court files. Up to that point, Senator Sam Nunn had kept the Bakersville case records within his office. A settlement was agreed to out of court, and the decision was sealed by Janet Reno. Because the case was sealed, claimants are not allowed to share court documents to media outlets without violating the settlement, but they can still tell others about the lawsuit. This is why you probably have not heard about this. 1991. Roy Schwassinger went before a Senate committee to present evidence of the bankers and government's criminal activity. He informed them of the Corporation of the United States, and how it was tied to the establishment of a new world order, which would bring about a fascist one-world government ruled by the international bankers. In 1992, a task force was put together consisting of over 300 retired and 35 active U.S. military officers who strongly supported constitutional law. This task force was responsible for investigating government officials, congressional officers, judges, and the Federal Reserve. Chief of the Naval Operations, Admiral Jeremy Baruda, General David McLeod, former Director of Central Intelligence William Colby. They uncovered the common practice of bribery and extortion committed by both senators and judges. The criminal activity was so rampant that only 2 out of 535 members of Congress were deemed honest. But more importantly, they carried out the first ever audit of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve was accustomed to giving orders to politicians and had no intention of being audited. However, after they were informed their offices would be raided under military gunpoint if necessary, they complied with the investigation. After reviewing their files, the military officers found $800 trillion sitting in the accounts, which should have been applied to the national debt. And contrary to federal government propaganda, they also discovered that most nations had in fact owed money to the United States instead of the other way around. These hidden trillions were then confiscated and placed into the European bank accounts in order to generate the enormous funds needed to pay the Farmers Claim Case Action lawsuit. This money would become the basis of the prosperity programs. Despite these death blows, President George H.W. Bush and the Illuminati continued on with their plans of global enslavement. In August of 1992, the military officers confronted President Bush and demanded he sign an agreement that he would return the United States to constitutional law and ordered him to never use the term New World Order again. Bush pretended to cooperate, but secretly planned to bring about the New World Order anyway by signing an executive order on December 25, 1992, that would have indefinitely closed all banks, giving Bush an excuse to declare martial law. Under the chaos of martial law, Bush intended to install a new constitution, which would have kept everyone currently in office in their same position for 25 years, and it would have removed all rights to elect new officials. The military intervened and stopped Bush from signing that executive order. In 1993, members of the Supreme Court, certain members of Congress, and representatives from the Clinton government met with high-ranking U.S. military officers who were demanding a return to constitutional law, reforms of the banking system, and financial redress. They agreed to create the farm claims process, which would allow the legal team to set up meetings all over the country on a grassroots level to help others file claims and to educate them about the lawsuit. A claim of harm would be made on any loan issued by a financial institution for all interest paid, foreclosures, attorney and court fees, IRS taxes or liens, real estate and property taxes, mental and emotional stress caused by the loss of property, stress related to illness, such as suicide and divorce, and even warrants. Incarceration and probation could also be claimed. In 1994, but the Clinton government undermined their efforts by requiring the farm claims to use a specific form designed by the government. This form imposed an administrative fee of $300 for each claim, which was later used in 1994 as a basis to arrest the leaders of the legal team, including Roy Schwasinger. The government was so afraid of what they would say during their trial in Michigan that extra steps were taken to conceal the true nature of the case. County courthouse employees were not allowed to work between Monday and Thursday during the course of the trial. And outside the courthouse, FBI agents swarmed the perimeter, preventing the media and visitors from learning what was going on as well. Harassment and retaliation by the government increased. Many were sent to prison or murdered while incarcerated. Despite being protected by his military personnel, the Army general who acquired the original 1933, title of bankruptcy from the United States, was imprisoned, killed, and replaced with a clone. This clone was then used as a decoy to prevent any further claims from being filed. Nancy adds, as a sidebar, I am not qualified to speak on the fact of human clones. However, that they exist is fairly widely accepted fact among those who study behind-the-scenes activities. Don't allow the thought of clones running the government cause you to refuse to consider the veracity of this history. As truth emerges, we will be shocked at much we hear. During the first Clinton administration, the military delayed many of Clinton's federal appointments until they were sure these individuals would help restore constitutional law. One such individual who promised to bring about necessary changes was Attorney General Janet Reno, 1993. In agreement with the Supreme Court ruling on June 3, 1993, Janet Reno ordered the Delta Force and Navy SEALs to Switzerland, England, and Israel to recapture trillions of dollars of gold stolen by the Federal Reserve System from the Strategic Gold Reserves. These nations cooperated with the raid because they were promised their debts owed to the United States would be canceled, and because the people who stole the money from the United States also stole money from their nations as well. This bullion is to be used for the new currency backed by precious metals. It's now safely stockpiled at the NORAD complex at Colorado Springs, Colorado, and four other repositories. Janet Reno's actions so enraged the powers that be, it resulted in her death. She was then replaced with a clone, and it was this creature that was responsible for covering up the various Clinton scandals. Or should I say, Hitlerian Clinton scandals. To keep the Secretary of U.S. Treasury, Robert Rubin, in line, he too was also cloned. For the remainder of their term in office, both Reno and Rubin received their salaries from the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, which is now run by Christine, who went to high school in Maryland and was handled from there as foreign agents and not from the U.S. Treasury. Despite these actions, the legal team continued on with their fight while managing to avoid bloodshed and major revolution. After 1993, the Farmer Claims Process name was changed to Bank Claims. Between 1993 and 1996, the U.S. Supreme Court required U.S. citizens to file bank claims to collect the damages paid by the U.S. Treasury Department. This process closed in 1996. During this time, the U.S. Supreme Court assigned one or more justices to monitor the progress of the rulings. They enlisted the help of experts in economics, monetary systems, banking, constitutional government and law, and many other related areas. These justices built coalitions of support and assistance with thousands of people worldwide, known as White Knights. The term White Knights was borrowed from the world of big business. It refers to a vulnerable company that is rescued from a hostile takeover by a corporation or a wealthy person, a White Knight. To implement the required changes, the five justices spent years negotiating how the reformations would occur. Eventually, they settled on certain agreements, also known as accords, with the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve Bank owners, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and numerous other countries, including the United Kingdom and countries of the Eurozone. Because these U.S. banking reformations will impact the entire world, the IMF, the World Bank, and other countries had to be involved. The reformations require that the Federal Reserve be absorbed by the U.S. Treasury Department, and banks' fraudulent activities must be stopped and payment must be made for past harm. 1998. The military generals who originally participated in the farmers' claim process realized that the U.S. Supreme Court justices had no intentions of implementing the accords. So they decided the only way to implement the reformations was through a law passed by Congress. 1999. A 75-page document known as the National Economic Security and Reformation Act, NESARA, was submitted to Congress, where it sat with little action for almost a year. 2000, late one evening on March 9th, 2000, a written quorum call was hand-delivered by Delta Force and Navy SEALs to 15 members of the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House who were sponsors and co-sponsors of NASARA, and those were the ones that I listed in the beginning that are known. They were immediately escorted by the Delta Forces and Navy SEALs to their respective voting chambers, where they passed the National Economic Security and Reformation Act. These 15 members of Congress were the only people lawfully allowed to hold office in accordance with the original 13th Amendment. In other words, they weren't attorneys. Remember, British soldiers destroyed copies of the titles of nobility, Amendment Tona in the War of 1812, because it prevented anyone who had ties to the Crown of England from holding public office. NASARA is the most groundbreaking reformation to sweep not only this country, but our planet in its entire history. The Act does away with the Federal Reserve Bank, the IRS, the shadow government, and much more. NASARA implements the following changes. Number one, it zeroes out all credit card, mortgage, and bank debt due to illegal banking and government activities. This is the Federal Reserve's worst nightmare, a jubilee, or a forgiveness of debt. Number two, it abolishes the income tax. Number three, it abolishes the IRS. Employees of the IRS will be transferred to the U.S. Treasury National Sales Tax Area. Number four, it creates a 14% flat rate non-essential new items only sales tax revenue for the government. In other words, food and medicine will not be taxed, nor will it be used items, neither will it be used items such as old homes. Number five, it increases benefits to senior citizens. Number six, it returns constitutional law to all courts and legal matters. Number seven, it reinstates the original title of nobility amendment. Number eight, it establishes new presidential and congressional elections within 120 days after Nassar's announcement. The interim government will cancel all national emergencies and return us back to constitutional law. Number nine, it monitors elections and prevents illegal election activities of special interest groups. Number 10, it creates a new U.S. Treasury rainbow currency backed by gold, silver, and platinum, precious metals, ending the bankruptcy of the United States initiated by President Franklin Roosevelt in 1933. Number 11, it forbids the sale of American birth certificate records as chattel property bonds by the U.S. Department of Transportation. Number 12, it initiates new U.S. Treasury bank system in alignment with constitutional law. Number 13, it eliminates the Federal Reserve system. During the transition period, the Federal Reserve will be allowed to operate side by side of the U.S. Treasury for 1 year in order to remove all Federal Reserve notes from the money supply. Number 14, it restores financial privacy. Number 15, it retrains all judges and attorneys in constitutional law. Number 16, it ceases all aggressive U.S. government military actions worldwide. Number 17, it establishes peace throughout the world. Number 18, it releases enormous sums of money for humanitarian purposes. Number 19, it enables the release of over 6,000 patents of suppressed technologies which are being withheld from the public under the guise of national security, including free energy devices, anti-gravity, and sonic healing machines. Alien technology. October 10, 2000. Because President Clinton's clone had no interest in signing NASARA into law on October 10th of 2000, under orders from U.S. military generals, the elite naval SEALs and Delta Force stormed the White House and under gunpoint forced Bill Clinton to sign NASARA. Remember, everybody, he was a clone. During this time, Secret Service and White House security personnel were ordered to stand down, disarmed, and allowed to witness the event under a gag order. From its very inception, Bush Sr., the corporate government, major bank houses, and the Carlyle Group have opposed Nasara. To maintain secrecy, the case details and the docket number were sealed and revised within the official Congressional Registry to reflect a commemorative coin, and then again it was revised even more recently. This is why there are no public congressional records and why a search for this law will not yield the correct details until after the reformations are made public. That's when President Obama announces it. Members of Congress will not reveal the Nasara because they have been ordered by the U.S. Supreme Court justices to deny its existence or face charges of treason punishable by death. Some members of Congress have actually been charged with obstruction. When Minnesota Senator Paul Wellstone was about to break the gag order, his small passenger plane killing his wife, daughter, and himself. That was a very huge loss. I was living in Minnesota since before he died. If fear isn't enough to keep Washington in line, money is. Routine bribes are offered to governmental military officials by the power elite, secret government. Not surprisingly, much disinformation about Nasara can be found on the internet. Wikipedia's article is total disinformation. Dr. Harvey Francis Bernard's Nasara Bill, National Economic Stabilization and Recovery Act, was rejected by Congress in the 1990s. Dr. Bernard was a systems philosopher and had tried for years to interest Congress in his monetary reform suggestions. A testimony by Dr. Bernard's close friend, Daryl Anderson, may be read at www.simpleliberty.org. You may also read articles by Daryl Anderson at this site. Both men were interested in monetary reform. September 11, 2001. Next step is to announce Nasara to the world, but it's not an easy task. Many powerful groups have tried to prevent the implementation of Nasara. The Nasara law requires that at least once a year an effort be made to announce the law to the public. Three then current U.S. Supreme Court judges control the committee in charge of Nasara's announcement. These judges have used their overall authority to secretly sabotage Nasara's announcement. In 2001, after much negotiation, the Supreme Court justices ordered the 107th Congress to pass resolutions approving Nasara. This took place on September 9, 2001, 18 months after Nasara became law. On September 10, 2001, George Bush Sr. moved into the White House to steer his son on how to block the announcement. The next day, on September 11, 2001, at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Alan Greenspan was scheduled to announce the U.S. Treasury Bank System, debt forgiveness for all U.S. citizens, and abolishment of the IRS as the first part of the public announcements of Nasara. Just before the announcement, at 9 a.m., Bush Sr. ordered the demolition of the World Trade Center's Twin Towers to stop the international banking computers on floors 1 and 2 in the North Tower from initiating new U.S. Treasury bank system. Explosives in the World Trade Center were planted by operatives and detonated remotely in Building 7, which was demolished later that day in order to cover up their crime. Remote pilot technology was used in a flyover event to deliver a payload of explosives into the Pentagon at the exact location of the White Knights and their new Naval Command Center, who were coordinating activities supporting Nasara's implementation nationwide. With the announcement of Nasara stopped dead in its tracks, George Bush Sr. decapitated any hopes of returning the government back to the people. For the past 10 years, life in the USA and numerous other countries has been dictated by the staged terrorist attacks and its repercussions. Seldom does a day go by that we do not hear mention of 9/11. 2005, Dr. Harry Bernard died on May 18, 2005. 2009, Roy E. Schwarzenegger Jr. died on August 23rd. 2009, at the age of 75, exactly 2 years ago. today. Verification, Social Security Death Index, ssdi.rootsweb.ancestry.com. Look up Swasinger. 2011, the debt ceiling debacle kindled renewed interest in Nasara. As we watch the world economy collapse, we can know that Nasara law remains in the background, ready to be announced. Please tell everybody about Nasara law and that we're ready to announce it. Thank you. This is Elizabeth Trutwin. You may find a copy of this article under the Nasara tab at the top of the page, www.galacticroundtable.com. Thank you. I want to thank all the GRT family who have donated recently. Even though I've released several books lately, I rely on donations to pay all the expenses for the website, the hosting where our family meets, the Wi-Fi signal, the electric, the broadcasting fees for radio and video transmission, and the production costs. Remember, I make nothing for all I do at Galactic Roundtable, maintaining the website every day. I'm only earning a small royalty for my books, and it will be some weeks before I receive my first payments. I only get a very small portion of the book price. Thank you every day for your recent generous donations, and please continue to support our collective effort. Ongoing donations as you can. One issue we are all dealing with lately is undoing our programming from the Matrix. This programming of our egoic minds keeps us from joining nature, relaxing with our families, meditating, taking time to take care of our bodies, including eating right, and keeps us programmed to slave and escape and die. In order to release our egos from the programming, it takes a daily effort of disciplining our thoughts and taking a concerted effort to stop going there. Visualize yourself as standing before you, repeating some story about a pattern that you are stuck in and know you must drop, such as fighting with your spouse or yelling at your kids. All you have to do to regain control over your emotions is drop the programming. See yourself running the program, standing before you. Go into the mainframe computer, which is your every thought. Type in the name of the program. Go to the menu item, uninstall, hit delete. Wait until the program is completely removed from your mainframe. Now you have more memory available, and be sure you fill the void with light and love. The two things which cause you constant suffering are desire and fear. Quench these, and you enter pure orgasmic bliss. It is from here you can achieve anything, including teleportation, levitation, interdimensional jumping, all and more. To illustrate the potentials of not being programmed, I would like to share what Sonia Barrett says about brain power. Enjoy. We will be looking at sacred galactic scripture from the Hindu faith called the Upanishads. The Hindu Veda include another text called the Brahmanas, the book of the Brahman, which means the brrrr, the energy, the divine energy. The Brahmins are in touch with energy. They go to work to interpret the meaning of the Vedic teachings. We can influence the galactics in how much they can help us. The Brahmins can show us how an illuminated man or woman is greater than the galactics because they influence the galactics in how much they can participate in the lower dimensions. And that's why we study sacred galactic scripture, to become illuminated. The Brahmins had a sacrificial fire they called Havan. A holy man builds the fire. The participants hold their prayer in their heart and approach the fire. They take a handful of grains and throw it into the fire to feed the prayer, to float up on the smoke to the skies. Many indigenous people have similar practices. As this takes place, the other participants sing, evoking the galactics to hear the prayers on Earth. The fire god, Agni, sitting above the fire in his craft, then hears the prayer, carrying it to the crew on the starships. We are all an offering in the all-consuming fire. Life lives on life. Life is an ever-burning fire. The Upanishads are taught from a teacher who explains how we all have fire of our own energy within. The source of the gods is in your own heart. Follow your footsteps to your heart, and you will find the God within. This is what it means to be on the path, as taught in the Hindu and Buddhist traditions. The teacher speaks with the voice of the fire. Jesus also identified with the Christ fire. He speaks as the twice born, having taken up a spiritual life. And now we'll explore the Upanishads. Upanishads means the inner mystic teaching. The Upanishads is absolutely ancient. In the quietude of the forest, hermitages, the Upanishad thinkers pondered on the problems of the deepest concerns and communicated their knowledge to prepared students sitting at their feet. Older Upanishads are usually affixed to a particular Veda. The Vedas, which is Sanskrit for Veda or knowledge, are a large body of texts originating in ancient India. Composed in Vedic Sanskrit, the texts constitute the oldest layer of Sanskrit literature and the oldest scriptures of Hinduism. This is from the Upanishad, Krishna Yajurveda. When all is understood to be one, Omkara, the absolute, there is no sorrow, there is no maya or illusion. Then the attainment of the Advaita Paramananda, which means completion or wholeness, is very easy. Think that you are the basis of all this universe. You are the one. Kavala, Sat Chit Gana. All people cannot understand this truth. Those devoid of maya can know this secret. After knowing this, the Atman does not move toward any place at any time. It becomes one with Makasa, just like Akasa does, not move anywhere. Similarly, this Atman does not have any movement. It becomes one with the Om. One who knows this great secret truth is the real Muni. He becomes the Parabrahma himself. He becomes Sat Chit Ananda. He attains permanent peace. Essentially means to reach the highest level of consciousness. Sat is truth, the destroyer of illusion and falsehood. Chit is pure consciousness. Ananda is pure bliss and happiness. The universal heart is full of courage, love, compassion, truth, and light. Starseeds run into challenges with enlightenment when they allow their energy to be depleted by frivolous mental and physical activities, negative thinking, and aimless conversation. Cosmic energy comes into the body through the solar plexus and as light from the sun. It moves to the heart as divine creative energy, when activated, burns off the old accumulated negative energy in the flamelization, the unchained heart, one which is open and free, becomes a vast vessel to be filled with divine light. The Upanishads hold a portion of the Akashic records of Earth. These records are described as containing all knowledge of human experience and the history of the cosmos. When we read them, we remember. I would like to share the Sita Upanishad, which describes Sita, the wife of Rama, from the epic Ramayana. 106, Situ Upanishad. Om, gods, with ears let us hear what is good, adorable ones. With eyes let us see what is good. With steady limbs, with bodies praising. Let us enjoy the life allotted by the gods. May Indra of wide renown grant us well-being. May Pusan and all gods grant us well-being. May Tarkshaya of unhampered grant us well-being. May Brihaspati grant us well-being. Om, peace, peace, peace. The gods indeed said to Prajapati, who is Sita? What is her form? The Prajapati replied, she is Sita, being the first cause. Sita is known as Prakriti of Pranava, too. She is cause, and so it is named Prakriti. Maya, in very essence, is Sita, of three letters formed, called Vishnu, the world seed, and Maya, too, she is the letter I. The letter S-A notes truth, immortal. Achievement, Siva, with his consort. Tara denotes the queen of speech united, great illusion, whose form and who is denoted of the Lord of Gods. She has a form which is different and yet the same. She is the essence of the intelligent and inert. She is all, from Brahma to stocks and stones. She is embodied, owning to a distinctions of attributes and activities. She assumes the forms of gods, sages, men, determinations of time, such as the smallest moment. A, with its cow, who I before her, all causes and effects. The steady image of the Lord, ideal, moves oneself from the self-created entanglements we once did. We become expanded. Without exploring our galactic heritage, by examining the clues left to us by our galactic ancestors, we are doomed to live as slaves to our own ego mind. As we examine these truths, we will find there is only one path to the cosmic consciousness and our higher powers. We must integrate into our lives restriction, observation, physical exercise, breathing exercises, control of our senses, contemplation, and meditation. There is no shortcut. This book is a guide. Please use it wisely. No being can give enlightenment to another. The higher teaching cannot be absorbed, understood, or retained unless one's nature is purified. This involves throwing off one's identity and retreating into the heart. The energy of others is improved by the purity of one's soul and the fullness of heart. We go through life under a cloak of illusion. Reality cannot be avoided forever. When we have seen, tasted, and enjoyed all, and still are not satisfied with the human existence, we begin to look deeper for a more profound meaning in life. Restriction is a way of mastering the difficult, otherwise we become its victim again and again. In longing for freedom, knowledge, love, and light, we see no problem restricting ourselves. Then we forget and return to regrettable behavior. Discipline is absolutely vital. It is good for you, and it will help your development. Observation is how we learn from mistakes. It may seem difficult for some to admit wrongs. How we learn from a mistake if we refuse to acknowledge it? Moreover, there is a tendency to blame others for our shortcoming. Learn to be honest with yourself. Observe your actions. This is each one's own responsibility. Try to avoid the dangers of competition and comparison. No one on this planet is in the same place on the path as any other. Why must you constantly compare yourself to others? Until such thoughts and ideas have been removed from our minds completely, further growth is impossible. Physical exercise makes us strong. One must be strong to experience bliss and enlightenment. Physical exercise rests the mind, cleanses the senses, and clears the emotion. Discipline of body, mind, and emotions and senses is essential to a well-integrated life. Breathing exercises increase the cosmic energy or life source, the breath of life. To develop increased energy, begin with slow breathing. Imagine you are floating in the sea, and your breath will keep you afloat. Try deep breathing. Breath retention exercises and alternate nostril breathing. Control of our senses is easy when we are on the road to self-perfection. To one who has never tried to control their desires or appetites, this may seem difficult. It does not mean that we give up the things we love, only that we not pursue them as though we cannot live without them. If you are acutely attached in the physical, coffee, chocolate, wine, beer, meat, it will keep you away from realizing the all infinite. To gain liberation from tyranny of the ego, we must pay close attention to ourselves and our world. Contemplation happens when we submit totally, entirely to the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent indweller of the heart. We do not ask for our desires, but rather surrender our individual wishes to infinite wisdom. We know infinite wisdom by reading it, and thus it becomes a part of us. Meditation is how we become one with the knowledge. Without purification, there can be no illumination. We discover these potentials when we meditate. Growth is not always a pleasurable experience. It can cause tremendous hardship and pain. Humans' continuously arrogance, criticism, and competition are products of self-absorption, which block knowledge. The limited mind reflects these filters onto everything it comes into contact with, including sacred galactic scripture. The supreme goal of existence cannot be achieved. I would like to share with you Tiburon's recent article, which talks about universal beings, universal beginnings, the cosmic genesis. This is an Archangel Metatron channel with the Altan Kadmon as Enoch via James Tiburon. Greetings, I am Metatron, Lord of Light, and I embrace you with love, unconditional love. Masters, we welcome into our midst the beloved Altan Kadmon as the energy of Enoch. We encircle each and every one of you with a nurturing energy and with the field of self-empowerment, for each of you are truly masters on your path of ascension. It is our purpose to offer you inspiration and clarity, but indeed it is once and always requisite that you, as a sacred and sovereign being, discern this in any such channeled messages. Cosmology of the multiverse and the cosmic genesis. And so, dear ones, we begin an essay of the cosmic pulse and the cosmology of the universe, a truly fascinating topic, indeed a subject that has intrigued mankind since the beginnings on Earth. Before we really begin this message, we tell you that mankind views the universe from the tunnel vision of his unique point in time, and that narrows humanity's ability to perceive the full spectrum of the greater universal reality. Well, I tell you that the greatest error in your current scientific studies of universal formation cosmology is that it omits the divine. Divine thought is prime creator. It is first cause. But subsequent to this axiom, there is a scientific process of the unfurling genesis. It is second cause, but it is intricately laced with the sacred. When acceptance of the sacred first principle is combined with accurate science, many doors will be open to you, and you are on the threshold of such integral union. Now, we have already shared with you that there are many Earths, many inner realities and dimensions within the multiplex omniverse that you think of as the angelic realm interfaces in what is termed antimatter. Is far more than antimatter in the sense of reverse charged ions, like those being engineered in particle accelerators.
but rather the full panorama of the manifold inverse phase of matter. It is a physical reality turned inside out. And each phase has myriad layers within and without. We have told you that your linear time-based perception of reality really takes place in a non-linear strobe sequence of consciousness units that are regulated between the shift of matter to antimatter within multidimensionality. That in this process, the inward shift occurs through macro and micro black holes and the outward of macro and micro white holes. This in-out push-pull occurs in the cosmic flash that is the true magno rhythm of your reality of duality. The dimension you call time is not a one-way street. It not only moves forward and backward, it moves in and out in a hologramic programs of your dimensional realities in the eternal now of simultaneous time. As such, we tell you again that your perception of the cosmic universe is relative to the distinct point in time which you observe it. You see, there are many universes in the multiverse and all formed by first cause. But we tell you this truth. Understanding the sacred scientific nature of one unlocks the door to the others. You are the cusp of doing this, and this is both a sacred and scientific advantage to this. It is more important in unlocking frequential doors into your true origin and nature than you realize. As such, the information we are about to pass to you has clues to the science behind cosmology and its sacred applications that lead to the quantum leap in consciousness that is part and parcel of the ongoing ascension of your planet and mankind. Cosmology of the present universe. With those caveats, we tell you that the so-called Big Bang never took place in your Newtonian physicists believe. Indeed, many scientists and researchers are seeing challenges that reveal this truth. Your current mainstream theory of universal second cause evolution is based, generally speaking, on the work of Newton and Einstein. Newton's concept of universal gravitation provided the theoretic underpinning for the Copernican revolution, in which the Earth was no longer the center of the universe, but revolved around the Sun. Newton discerned an attractive gravity-based force between all physical objects, a force directly proportional to the mass of the objects and operating everywhere in the universe. But his theory evolved into an assumption that gravity permeated space and that space was electronically neutral. A grouping of your forward-thinking scientists are now studying plasma physics and the theories they are putting together in the concept of an electrical force in the cosmos, an electrical universe, is getting closer to the verity. But some of the pieces to the puzzle are still missing. Some, these new theorists conclude that black holes and dark matter do not exist, and that electricity responsible for the energy that formed planets and stars on the former is a strike and a miss. The latter, it's a hit, an important one. In fact, black holes do indeed exist, but they are twinned with white holes, and their function and true nature are not yet grasped. We are, and the black holes are not carnivores, all-consuming monsters you think, but it is the black holes or any theorized dark matter that coheres, gravitates, and powers the cosmos. It is rather something of a coherent cosmic electrical force, and it is geometric. It is metatronic. It is, in fact, a form of refined electrical energy which induces crystalline attributes, and it is coated with the divine. It is a function of the crystalline electrocosmic grid. Intradimensional crystalline electrics. Your current advancements in the higher resolution instruments have allowed your scientists to observe images and evidence of the omnipresent as the cellular structures of cosmic plasma. And this is a great nudge of an exciting and important new understanding. It is leading to a requisite discovery that what you term the void in space is neither truly void nor neutral. It points to the cosmic electricity. Neutral plasma will not organize itself into cells and filaments. The extraterrestrial cosmos is not electrically neutral. And the seeming paradox is that it is charged with a crystalline structure.
Your advanced telescopes are now providing images that reveal strands of electrical currents feeding the core of your spiral galaxy, the Milky Way. No Newtonian gravitational theories or their model allow for the electric circuitry of this sort. In electrical terms, the filaments are the cosmic power transmission lines feeding the plasmoidea at the center of the galaxy. They are much more than that. Your spiraled galaxy contains a larger sphere of positive charges superimposed on a smaller inner sphere. The galactic center down to your sun and the planets are electrically charged, and the great central cosmic electric discharge, and is the source of all radiant energy. All astronomical bodies are in universal crystalline electromagnetic fabric. These dynamic charges appear in all cosmic bodies and negative electrons on the galactic scale. In fact, these electromagnetic forces played a crucial role in sculpting the surfaces and shaping the orbit of the bodies in your solar system. Electric discharge created the form and is the second cause of your universal evolution. It was not the Big Bang as you perceive it. Incarnate on your planet now, Arcturians, these brilliant men were once scientists, priests in the Atla Ra of Atlantis at the time of Tiburon in the Pleiadian. They are on the verge of these discoveries, for it is knowledge of the Atlantean era. The cosmic pulse. And so we speak of the cosmic pulse. It is an omnipotent source and force of all energy that is interdimensional and, in your current technology, immeasurable. The energy of the cosmic pulse occurs in two formats, one as a conduit of current and the other as a latticework, a living scientific grid. The cosmos contains within it what may be termed a crystal-electrical circuitry within the active plasma of the galaxies and intra-space. This circuitry feeds the core of your galaxy. Plasma is in many forms, both hot and cold, and it is coherent and conscious. This plasma is not fixed in or in only one universe. You see, this plasma operates in a not unlike light. It fluctuates and fades in and out of both dimensional realities and into other universes. It is, in fact, the glue that binds them together. Cosmic trigger phasing. This intradimensional produces a braided helix current that is crystalline. But how can a crystalline substance have ionic charges? Because it is produced by the crystalline cosmic lattice, the galactic grid. It becomes coherent through the pinch of its attraction and compression. Just as certain electric crystals on your planet release electric mechanical pressure as applied, this plasma is released through some of compression exerted on the piezo-crystalline matrix of the cosmic grid. As you approach the ascension, this crystal-electrical current is poised to the crystalline frequential upgrade of your planet. And as part of the crystalline portion of the cosmic trigger, we tell you this current is being coded with an inverse spiral, which was it only to the planet, but to the quintessential upshift to the Merkana. It is imperative to the Metatronic keys. Spiraled galaxies and the living sentience, so your galaxies within the multiverse each have a conscious sentience. But it is a far more exponentially higher refined sentience galaxy, that it is a proposed Metatronic format. It is why your Earth, as well as the Arcturus and the Orion Nebula, is within the specific geometric galaxial matrix. The cause pulse within spiraled galaxies form creation patterns that you term the golden. This unique form of spiral is more conducive to both physical form as well as the duality component of your Earth. The galactic grid in your spiraled Milky Way is the formatted creation server that allows all that is within its sphere of influence to dynamically and creatively expand, just as your 144 crystalline grid is energized via the spiral cosmic pulse and on the March equinoxes of 2009, 2010, and 2011, the 144 grid was further formatted to a cosmic pulse into the Earth through a focalized expansion in its geometric format. These are indeed the purposes of that termed the cosmic trigger. The crystalline electricity that has been allowed per spiral is now emanated outward and made available to the Merkanah. Expansion of the cosmic trigger is on the equinox of March 2012. And we tell you in a true sense that all adjustments for what is termed the ascension occur on by the 12-12-12. Indeed, the remaining solstices, eclipses, and triple date portals, 11-11-11 and 12-12-12, are the final mega tunings of 2012. The 12-12-12, between finalizing what starts on 12-12-12 finalizes on December 21st, 2012. At that time, the crystal shift termed the ascension is in place. It represents an expanded dimensional axis. On December 21st, 2012, is the expansion of the planet. It is a new Earth available to humanity. That the mass graduation of humanity into the ascended crystalline generations. It will occur because of the new format, and it will. The crystalline human bodies have an auric energy, in your terms, that is converting from, receives energy through induction, the higher geometry. The prior system of the Merkaba was indeed electromagnetic, but is being upshifted into magnetic format called a Merkanah. The Merkanah is the metatronic, is metatronic, allow vastly greater attributes to the focused seeker. It will enable the to carry the higher frequencies coming into your planet. Crystalline grid via the cosmos. In this process, shift your DNA into a more complex crystalline form. You see DNA is now, dear ones, all is shifting into the crystalline field and is via the 144 crystalline grid. Admon, crystallization of the gland. And so we one who is now the Enochian energy of the metatronic field through the crystalline visualization of the pineal, pituitary, and thymus glands several years before my transition in the advanced levels of the Melchizedek method. Now in the crystalline age, we are working closely with the channel, James Tiberon, in the teaching of this process, and it is available to all of you as a metatronic keys. There is a new crystalline structure to activate the transformation of the three glands required to move into the higher geometric Merkanah. A transformation to crystalline. We have provided this information, and it has been and will be further released in you in our sequential channels. Among the quantum attributes, much greater immunity for the body, an expanded consciousness of your multidimensionality. Humanity from carbon base. Surely occur in the next 12 or 15 generations as mesh form. The shift from the magnetic to the crystalline in your 100 grid. It is indeed the crystalline grid that has dictated the new Merkanah in its shifting of Merkaba to crystalline light body. And remember, at the base of the Merkanah is the 13-20-33 circuitry of the optimal human to divinity auric field. Tiberon, the metatronic field, in the same manner of the Enochian field operate in assistance in sending this energy. We are all in plurality in that manner and field. Tiberon is also combined in the Enochian and I in the Pleiadian energy of Tiberon. The activation of the crystalline grid frequency portals, each from 111 to 12-12-12, firing 112 of the crystalline grid into activation. The changes that are occurring activate the crystalline emissions that were the crystalline aspect of the evolving planetary elliptical firmament. This has been shared in great detail in previous Tiburoni. Chiron is the magnetic master. So is Tiburon of the Pleiades, the crystalline master. We speak of Tiburon, ascended master, the root source of the channel James Tiburon, the interface with the Metatronic of Lord Metatron. I too, as Altun and Enoch in the greater field of plurality, am of the Metatronic energy, and that is our interface. That in 2009, in that ever termed the first cosmic trigger, the crystalline grid into dominance over the magnetic grid. In so doing, the Merkana upshift became in tri-staging. The full level of Merkana is now offered. I leave you for now in a word, but know that I am with you ever and that my work continues within the granics of the cosmic pulse. Now, the upshifting of the earth involves, as we have shared, a greater allowance into your plane, planet, through the lens of your 144 crystalline grid. But the cosmic pulse that occurs in your physical universe is not new. It was, as we have mentioned, well known to the Atlanteans. It was, in fact, utilized. The filaments of the cosmic electrodynamic current, all matter, as such, the suns, stars, and the planets, are all an extent driven and powered by this current. Accordingly, every cellular and planetary body in space carries an electrical resonance charge, including your Earth. This energy is received through the magnetosphere of your Earth and is drawn into the Earth's crystalline core. It emits a blue wave radiation that provides a higher spectrum light to your inner galaxial lay system, the conduits of the charge of the network throughout the galaxy, and can be compared to the lay system of the Earth and the nervous system of the human. Electrics, magnetics, gravity, crystallization, and light are tantamount factors in the cosmic grid, and indeed your developing grid. They are primary tools of your planetary frequential ascension. They are as yet enigmas to you. They are not understood. Their combinations are the energies of the universe and their ratios and must be of the spheres. Your planetary grids and magnetosphere surge protectors, but occasionally this charge overloads. There is evidence of this unrecognized in your solar system and indeed on Earth. Every planet has a specific parameter of electrical charge it carries. When this charge is overloaded in a surge, a form of internal electricity will burst out in potent arcs that create implosion effects, both on the physical planet and the interdimensional aspect. This has occurred on your breakup of the initial firmament. This is in fact what formed the Grand Canyon. Indeed, a surge, an implosion of arc lightning not only formed the Grand Canyon, but also meteor crater, Tolstoy crater in Siberia. Neither of the latter two have revealed iron nickel meteorite fragments within their craters. Evidence of this is also on the moon and planets. Jupiter's fourth moon and the Val Marinera Canyon on Mars are other enigmatic examples of. These are understood and recognized by some of your. Now, to relate this to your Earth, we will tell you that the arc of lightning emitted from within the Earth that created the implosion scars of the Grand Canyon and Tolstoy have created a unique energy field. All reverse of intradimensional light occurs here, and as such, a unique balance occurs that spins light in the helical and anti-helical spins. Gemstones and minerals found within the have unique properties as a result that can be very balancing and beneficial in auric expansion. One of the interesting effects within these areas is the presence of a very resulting from a unique anti-gravitational field that occurred from the electro-arc implosion. This field is a dimensional opening that enabled time-specific astronomical gravity phases of bilocation more easily in certain vectors within it. Aspects of your government are in
aware of some of these anomalies within your Grand Canyon on the planet, and one of these is the region of California, the Grimes Point area of Nevada, and the mid-south central section of the Ural Mountains. Closing, universal cosmology in the second is a key component of your integrating the scientific with the sacred. It will unlock doors that not only allow you to understand complexities of your realities, but more easily integrate the new energies of a crystalline age within ascension. Spiral galaxy in a very special solar system. They are crystal-electric. Experience this beautiful specifically planned to experience this amazing graduation. Metaphysics is now beginning to attract a very special guild of highly advanced souls into its midst. This is a younger generation of academics and scientists who have been scientist priests. They will become known in the next decade. Indeed, it is time to embrace the full circle of sacred and dear ones. Choose to live free. Choose to release worry and fear and create your well-being. Respect and nurture one. It is the science and frequency of God. These truths.